You're listening a Marcus Sahaba Online Radio podcast.
But right, let's talk South Africa and let's talk current affairs. And this is something I think we need to be speaking about, especially holiday time, because this is something that's quite a reality, and it is kidnapping. Kidnapping is a reality, and you know, it left me so disturbed. I saw recently on social media this video of a mother and a son sitting in the car, and the mother warns her son to say, look, those are crooks, you must watch out for them. And as she tells them, she rolls up the window. I don't know if she remembers to lock the doors or not. And then while she's telling her son in Afrikaans that hey, skelm, kyk vir hom, and another guy comes from behind, opens the door and drags the child out. And then we heard of another story. We're hearing of stories of children being kidnapped. And it's a worry. It's a huge worry. And I can tell you, I can sort of relate to something, not kidnapping, but my wife, I left her at one mall one day and I said, look, watch your cell phone, because I know she likes to check her cell phone every now and then, and it sort of hangs out of the bag. And I said, please watch your cell phone, because I'm leaving you. I was going to write exams that day. And I said, I left her at the mall and I said, look, you go do what you need to do. And inshallah, I'll come pick her up after that. But there we go. And my neighbor has a shop at the mall. And I took her to the shop and I said, look, if anything happens, you come here. So she said, fine. And then when I went to write my exams, I came back. I actually finished early with my exams. Never hear from my wife. Lo and behold, I went to the shop, found her sitting there. What happened? Cell phone stolen. And you know, I always warn about this, and I say, next, you know, it could be your children, and you should watch out about this. Not too far from the Marcus Sahaba studios down the road here at the station, they tried to grab my neighbor's kid out of the car, and he was fastened in his baby seat, you know, so they just couldn't get him out, and he drove away. And I was walking with my wife once, we went shopping, and I saw somebody reaching down at my kid. He was walking. We do this thing, like when he's stubborn, we make like we're leaving him behind, and we say bye and we walk away. And once we did that, and somebody reached down to, I don't know if he was trying to grab him or what, but I turned around at this guy and he looked at me, he looked at my face and he smiled and he said, it's a very cute kid. So I just I smiled and nodded, and I just stood and I watched him, and he turned into the first shop that was available to him. So it's quite scary indeed for us as South Africans, you know. And now you have to be on the alert. You just simply have to be on the alert as a South African, because it's a reality that kidnapping is hitting South Africa quite hard. And we're going to be speaking to a specialist investigator into serious violent and serious economic crimes. And we're speaking to Mike Bolhays, talking about kidnapping. And Mike, welcome to the program and good afternoon.
And thank you for the opportunity.
Mike, I think it's an absolutely imperative topic which we're discussing today, because it is the kidnapping of children. We see it on social media, we hear about it on the news, and we're sort of taking it for granted that it will never happen to us. And South Africans, we are still complacent, even though there's so much happening. And we just complacent that it won't happen to us, and we take this for granted. How common is kidnapping in South Africa?
Well, what you've stated there is where the penny should drop to all listeners. Number one, any crime, and there's so many in South Africa, can happen to anyone at any time. Mm-hmm. That should really just... The penny should drop with anybody and everybody out there. That crime is rampant in South Africa, it's everywhere, and it's not just kidnapping. But since we are discussing that topic, it is escalating, and it's a serious violent crime. It falls under the category of serious violent crimes, which we do investigate, and we have seen a spate of these in the last couple of months. And we have also seen in the last couple of years an escalation in all kinds of kidnappings. So the most common kidnapping taking place daily is when parents don't return children. That is also a form of kidnapping. There usually is no violence involved. It's just that parents take kids many a times and just don't bring them back. And then when there's no communication, the mother or the father will open a case at the local police station because the court documents isn't that here to. But this one that has recently hit the news, where young people between, say, 20 and younger has been taken and held for ransom, and then the parents called, has been escalating also, because there's so many extortions going about. So in other words, you have a situation where crime can be committed, and it could be easily committed, and the criminals can easily get away. So crime begets crime. So once something happens once, and the criminal element, and especially when the information spreads, other criminals will join and jump on the bandwagon and commit the same crime, and it will be committed more and more often. So it's very easy today to just grab a youngster or some youngsters and just hold them, use their own phones, phone the parents and tell the parents that they have these kids. They hear the kids scream, or they make sure that they have enough information of the kids and the situation right there, and then that scares, obviously, the living daylights out of the parents. And they're clever. They just ask for small amounts that can easily be transferred. It's what we call a quick in-and-out kidnapping, and it's for money. The intention there is not to kill or to maim or to keep people for a long period of time, because then the risk of them being caught and the case drawing much more attention is the problem for these, I would say, gangsters or syndicates. I call them gangsters and syndicates because they are small groups of criminals that does not only do the kidnapping. They might do the sextortion, other forms of extortion, hijacking, just grabbing your handbag. They will, from, say, 9 to 5, as we do day jobs, they will do criminal activities. And since they have of late heard that, hey, look how easy it is to kidnap or hold somebody, even if it's with a toy gun. I mean, when a kid sees a couple of blokes grabbing him or them, or especially when there's girls together and there's this big emotion and fear, they're not going to really investigate, is this a real gun, is this a real knife? They immediately think, oh, kidnapping. And the worst thoughts run through their minds, because what they have learned of kidnapping is severe. What they have heard in the media and read about is that if you kidnap, you held at by serious gangs and groups, you could lose fingers, you could lose body parts, you could be eventually killed or raped. So the thought of kidnapping is always thought of in a worst case scenario, which then runs up the fear of these youngsters that is then being kept, and then they have that, and then they portray that through to the parents, and then the parents are in the same emotional state, and then they do the quick payments. And as I've said, they're very clever. They just ask and negotiate, believe it or not, for amounts that could be easily and quickly transferred and then easily taken by the criminals, and they disappear, and there's a next target.
And it's quite disturbing indeed. And you start to wonder, I'm happy that you made listeners aware about this, you know, of what emotions run through your mind. Perhaps, inshallah, they'll be able to handle it a bit better. But as a parent, what do you do as a parent when you see somebody at the mall, for example? Just before we heard you online, I was sharing with the listeners an incident with me as well, where I've got this two-year-old, and when he's stubborn, I make like I'm leaving him behind, and I walk, and he's behind me, and I did this a few months ago, and somebody grabbed down, went down to grab him, and it was a gentleman, and he looked at me and he said, "Cute kid." So where do you draw the line? Because we hear about this, we see that people pick children out of trolleys, and they when a parent finds them, they say, "Oh no, I was just fixing your child, or the child was uncomfortable, or I just, what a cute child, I wanted to hold the child." Where's the limit? How do you know, or where do you report it? Like, is there a limit on where you say, "Hey, this is enough, you've pushed a boundary, and there needs to be some sort of consequence"?
Well, let me warn the public, for those who think they can just pick up somebody and think a child is cute, They can just, you know, lift or take the hand of a child or any strange child. You're not allowed to do that. If you find a child or a youngster cute and you want to just spend a few seconds by saying that to the child, you go to the parent. Mm-hmm. You say to the parent, listen, may I address your kid? I just want to give your child a compliment. Or can I hold him or her? I have no problem when people are close and do communicate with each other. But unfortunately, our country is in such a fall of so many criminals and criminal activities, you would not know if that person's agenda is something else.
Mm-hmm.
There are so many pickpockets. There are so many other forms of crimes that could be committed. They could maybe ask or pose for a photo, and the next moment or later they have more information of you and they abuse that photo and so forth. So basically what I'm trying to say is I have time for proper communication between people, and we should share and have relationships. But unfortunately, as a specialist investigator in serious violence and economic crimes, I would rather suggest that you are very careful with your kids and your family, and you should have only in your family a very close-knit and healthy relationship, and not allow any strangers at all close to you in any proximity. Unfortunately, it's come to that. We have to be paranoid. We have to be very alert. We have to be careful, because we said it in the beginning. You never think this can happen to you. Unfortunately, you'll have to draw that line. When you go to the mall, your family should be close and they should stay close, and you should not allow, and you have the right to throw a more of a tantrum if somebody touches your kid or come close to you or your family, because this is the situation that's presently in South Africa. They also want to say that when kids go out, they and their parents should have proper cell phone communication, locations. So, you know, kids are so concerned about what is on their phones. They'll never share what's on their phones, and that's a concern to me. Mm-hmm. Parents should know what's on the children's phones, and they should teach. And so even the mature people should teach themselves and learn what I have to say today. You don't keep personal information on your phone. Your phone is DNA. If I have a person's phone, I have everything. I have his banking details. I have his passcode, security codes, car registration, family holidays, payments he's made, received, friends, naked photos, you name it. If I have a person's cell number, a cell phone, I have everything, and I can get everything. So cybercrime is escalating immensely, and all criminals work with cell phones or via cell phones or of the information on in the cyber world. So when you have a phone, you must try and live on a basis where you just make calls and receive calls, SMSs, WhatsApps, and afterwards delete. You should not have information on your phone. It should be stored and kept elsewhere. Because if you lose your phone, you lose your complete DNA identity. If you are taken and kidnapped, same scenario. It's everything on your phone. So when people go out or families are away from each other, they should have communication with each other pertaining location. In other words, kids say they're at the mall, they send a location. Or kids say they are going to a braai, send a location. And that should be a rule amongst the family. But I want to mention something here where I hold the cell phone companies responsible. I hold the cell phone companies absolutely responsible for the spate of a lot of crimes in South Africa, because the cell phone companies, and I'm only going to address one issue here, there are many, has the ability to enforce any person that buys a phone that has an automatic location notification. In other words, if you buy a cell phone, it should be law. It should be enforced.
Mm-hmm.
It should be enforced that anybody who buys a cell phone, that the cell phone must, it could never be switched off showing a location. It's like a sending out a ping location of where you're at. So just imagine this. You get taken And then once the phone, you can either press something, or once the phone is in any way being intruded by anybody else or anything done, it shows a location exactly where you're at. And that is what the cell phone companies is not doing, because they're relying on the fact that we all buy and want everything from them because we get so much privacy with that included. So, but just to round it down, it's important that family members is a close-knit group, and that they stay in communication with each other. They should be careful what they have on their phones, however, but they should be in contact with each other. And you should be careful. When you walk, look around. And when you go out, try and not go out unless you absolutely have to at night. Don't go out at night. Don't go out at late hours. Be careful. Be paranoid, unfortunately. And be aware of your surroundings, because kidnapping, and especially in the bigger cities, it's happening nationwide. It's not only happening in certain cities, is an opportunistic crime that's presently being committed. So you have a group that commits a lot of crimes, and then they see, hey, but we can quickly grab this oak and hold him, and he's an easy target. And remember, they're clever. They check you out. They're not going to grab a guy that just leaves the gym with arms bigger than his legs and walking in a group and looks extremely violent. So they're going to grab somebody that looks like a student or girls or a group that looks easily, that they can easily manipulate.
Definitely, and I'm happy that you mentioned how they look for a person, because I was starting to wonder, where are there any particular hotspots that kidnappings take place? Because it's obviously on the increase. Are there any particular? Is it schools? Is it in the playground, or is it malls? Where do criminals like this mostly operate?
Look, those who are listening to us today knows, which is what we call the dodgy areas.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, needless to say, let's avoid any dodgy area. However, it's good, as you said, your story that you've explained in the mall could be there, it could be anywhere. All I'm saying is that people should be vigilant. It's unfortunate, but there's another switch that should go on in us, and that is we should be a bit more paranoid, a bit more concerned, a bit more aware of our surroundings and what's going on, and we should be careful. When you go out and you see you could be an easy target that day, take somebody with. Be careful of what times you go out. There is no specific hotspots. You have to be aware of your surroundings, and then you avoid them. If you see there's a group of people that looks dodgy or you're concerned, you have the full right to turn around and just walk another and a longer way. But on the other hand, somebody can stop next to you, jump out and grab you. We've seen that.
Mm-hmm.
We have seen our people just stop at a red light, and then four or five guys jump in, kill a woman, pull her out, throw her out in the street. These things happen everywhere. It's unfortunately so. So all we actually can do is be a bit more paranoid, a bit more aware, and we must get a mindset of, it could happen to me, and what do I do then? And let me quickly talk about that. If you are taken in any way, you should have run it through your mind after especially listening to me today. You must exercise it in your mind. What are you going to do?
Mm-hmm.
Make sure that you can have some form of kind of panic button in your house if something happens in your house. Make sure that you know as a family what you're going to do if the house starts burning somewhere. What do you and the kids do? What do you do when there's a burglary? What do you do when there's an attack? And then make sure that you, as an individual, what do you do when somebody smashes your window and grabs your car? Or when you are walking down the road and people jump out and grab you? So in all these scenarios, you should play them all out in your mind and as a family discuss what you do. But in this conversation pertaining kidnapping, my advice is if you are being grabbed and taken, make sure that you can send, if it's possible, in any way, some form of distress signal via your phone. So, when you walk, have your phone in your hand, and if something jumps or comes your direction, you do a speed dial or you send a ping location or whatever. And stay to your family. If I say, for instance, let me give an example. You're a student, you're walking home, or you're going to the mall or whatever. Say to your family, I'm going to the mall, or I'm tonight finished at 4, and I'm going to go this direction. You know my route, but then I take the bus, etc. If you ever just get a random missed call from me, I'm in the ship, there's problems, then you should do something. Call back. If I don't answer, you know there's trouble. If I, or if I suddenly send just a ping location, what does it take before you do anything just to get to a WhatsApp, get the your location WhatsApp just on, and then have it in hand, and if you walk, you just press it if somebody jumps on you or grabs you. We need to be a bit more diligent with the smartphones and the technology that we have that's also there to our advantage. Remember, all the brilliant technology that's available out there is actually for our advantage, but the criminals use it against us. So we have to use and be smart. So it's very important that there is, you have to play it out in your mind so that when you are taken, that you already know what you're going to do. Then obviously in a kidnapping situation, you must give your full support. You cannot be a hard ass. You must try and build a relationship rather than say you give your full cooperation, you just work along. You should not lose it. You must try and not lose it. It's difficult, and it's very difficult when I speak to parents and say, yeah, but Mike, what would you do if somebody... I would say, yes, it is difficult. If a parent gets a call, you lose it. They lose it. They completely lose it. But the criminal uses that, and then he ups the amount. The more you lose it, the more the criminal is going to ask, or the criminals. So if you get the call that your kid has been taken, or you get a notification of your kid that he is in trouble and there is a negotiation, try and stay cool, calm, and collective. It's best that the husband does the negotiation, because women, unfortunately, are more emotional and they show it more. And then negotiate to a point. Remember, this category of kidnapping is just to get quick money and then it's over. Then they move on to the next target. So see it in that light. Play it through your mind. This is the scenario. This is the situation. It's extortion. All they want is bucks that you can quickly put over. Do the negotiation. Say you can only put over 5. That's your limit, or this, that, or the other. And keep in communication. In the meantime, parents and children who has phones, always have your phone on automatic recording. We have the technology. Set your phone to automatic recording, that it always records all calls. How many times must I tell people to do that? But then any and every call that has been made, you have all the information on the phone. And that is very, very important. And that could be later used. Once the scenario has played itself out, it's very important to give the police all of the information, even if they don't have the infrastructure or cannot do the work. It is important to have the statistics. That is how you know where's hotspots and where's what happening. The problem in South Africa, most people don't go to the police. They seek out private serious security firms or other authorities to assist and help them, and they don't inform the police. We know there's a lot of corruption in the police, and corruption is not necessarily selling a docket. It's when you can't protect and serve, but it's important to report the case to the police. In an extreme worst-case scenario where there's possibility of extreme violence, they can always contact us. By all means, you can put our details out there in extreme cases. But it's best to play out these scenarios and then make sure that we have all the information. We would like to receive all that information so that we can pull up a proper database and see where are these syndicates, and if they're also part of the sextortion and other extortion syndicates. Because as I said, these groups that does this does not only do this new spate of crime. They've been doing this kind of extortion crime and cybercrime for years. They have not just what they've done now is they've seen, hey, there's a quick buck to make other than sextortion or other forms of extortion. Let's grab a kid and hold him, call the parents, and get 8,000 rand.
Yes, you know, it's quite true that, and it's very sad indeed. And we even heard recently, I think there was a demand for 8,000 rand, and it's extremely disturbing. It's extremely disturbing, and they do play on your emotions. And I know one of the advices that I gave to my spouse was that if anything happens, you scream to high hell, because you know, don't be shy that what people are going to be looking, what people are going to be saying. You just scream. If you're in the car, if they're trying something, you ram the car in front of you. That's it. I said, even if it's a Porsche, ram the car in front of you, it's okay. But really, I think this advice as you gave are absolutely brilliant, and it's absolutely vital with the holidays coming up and people going around touring and looking like tourists. If you're from Johannesburg and you're trying to explore Durban or Cape Town and you're not sure, be aware of your surroundings. I think absolutely brilliant advice, Mike. And I think this interview will definitely be podcast for the benefit of those who missed it. Mike, is there a number to dial the specialists, investigators, if things get a bit too hairy for the police?
Yes. So what I'm going to do in any way afterwards, if I may have a WhatsApp from you, I'll send you my complete electronic business card, which you can post and or read on the podcast. Mm-hmm. And the number that I can be contacted on, and only please, if it's possible, on extreme cases. As I've already said, crime escalates this time of the year, October, November, December, with 300%. We are extremely busy and swamped with very serious cases. But in a scenario where there's life and death, a scenario, call me at 082-44-76-116. And if I may close with this, it is time that the public hold the banks, the cell phone companies, the police and the government responsible for the spate of crimes in our country. Remember, the banks are also guilty. There are so many ways that you can nowadays receive, pay, and pay money over, and receive and move. And that has become extremely valuable for the criminals. They just, when they have you, they just say, just put it over here to Pick and Pay, or to ShopRite, or to this, or to that. There's just so many ways that monies could be transferred everywhere and anywhere without being vetted or without being scrutinized. The day should come back, and we should hold the banks responsible for that, where monies cannot so easily be just transferred, and especially when it's large amounts. This might make a very big dent if this comes back, where monies is held for 7 days, properly vetted and scrutinized before paid out. This will definitely help in the big email scams where monies has been paid over in wrong accounts, where very big extortion monies has been paid, etc., etc. So the criminals are using the banks to launder money, basically, their criminal money. So the banks should also be held responsible for amounts that come in, especially in this kind of way. And they have the facilities. They can see if there's suddenly amounts that goes through, especially if it's several times. And there is ways to do proper scrutinizing and vetting and to prohibit this. And then the police should make this the like rape and child molestation and serious violent crime. They should make kidnapping an absolute priority, and there should be a specialized unit that has the technology and the ability to track and trace, especially on the cell phones, because there's not a criminal that doesn't use a cell phone. They all use cell phones, emails, all the latest and best smart technology that is available. The police doesn't, and that's my concern. There should be a proper, brilliant, and big enough cybercrime unit and anti-kidnapping unit that can deal with these crimes, because these crimes will escalate, and crime begets crime. If crime is successful, it will escalate and more criminals will commit it. And then the government, obviously, it seems like they have forsaken the public in its totality. We have been left on our own, and it's time that the government steps up and takes care of us, their people, because they are not. So those are the four entities that I'm blaming for the all the crimes, and especially the newest and the latest escalating of crimes in our country.
Definitely, I have to agree with you, Mike, and we have to be paranoid. We don't want to, but we have to. Mike, it's been an absolute pleasure. I think a vital interview, and we're really grateful that you've spoken to us and shared this vital information with us. Holidays are coming up, and I think you guys are already quite busy, but going to be quite busy indeed. But we really hope you some peace, and we wish you all the best in the future.
Thank you. Thank you for the opportunity. Do not hesitate to call us at any time for advice. We give it gladly and with a good heart. And just before the holidays, don't hesitate to call me. I'll give some advice what to do and not to do when you're on holiday, when you're confronted with crime, and what crimes you should watch out for and how to prevent it.
Definitely, Mike. We will be speaking in the near future before everybody goes on holiday. But for now, we're going to have to leave it at that. We say thanks for joining us.
Thanks.
And you have a great afternoon.
Thanks. Go well. God bless.
You too. Bye. Mike Bolhason, I think this was extremely important, because one thing we love to do is panic, and it's something we need to be we need to guard when we go out on holidays.
You're listening to Marcus Sahaba Online Radio Podcast.